Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, we have an impossible task, and that is to speak about today, which is the first day of the new year, another day, another year of grace for us if we open our hearts to receive it. But we also look at the Sunday readings, which is the Feast of the Epiphany. Today, January 1st, is, as I said, New Year's Day, but it's also the great feast of Mary, the Mother of God. Mary, the Mother of God. It was Mary's yes that made it possible, because Christ chose to be subject to her yes, whether he would come in the flesh. And she said, "Yes, be it done unto me according to thy word." And so on this first day of the new calendar year, we thank her. We thank Mary for what she has done for us. And I want to, before I go to the readings for Sunday, I want to look at the gospel for today on this great feast of the solemnity of the Mother of God. It's from Luke chapter 2. Verses 16 to 21. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child, the message that the angels had brought them. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This incredible story. But it all hinged, brothers and sisters, it all hinged on Mary's yes. Mary could have said no. Really, Mary could have said no. Pope Francis says this: Mary gave a human face to the eternal word so that all of us can contemplate him. The flesh of Christ, which, as Tertullian says, is the hinge of our salvation, was knit together in the womb of Mary. This inseparability is also clear from the fact that Mary, chosen beforehand to be the mother of the Redeemer, shared intimately in his entire mission, remaining at her son's side to the end on Calvary. Mary is so closely united to Jesus because she received from him the knowledge of the heart, the knowledge of faith, nourished by her experience as a mother and by her close relationship with her son. The Blessed Virgin is the woman of faith who made room for God in her heart and in her plans. She is the believer capable of perceiving in the gift of her son the coming of that fullness of time in which God, by choosing the humble path of human existence, entered personally into the history of salvation. It's a mouthful, but it's worth contemplating. And I especially want to look at this one sentence of Pope Francis: the Blessed Virgin is the woman of faith who made room for God in her heart and in her plans. Use that as a measuring stick in your own life this weekend. Have I made room for Jesus in my life and in my plans? Have I made room? Have I given him his rightful place in my life, in my personal life, and in my plans? That's a very, very substantial question, and it needs, brothers and sisters, to be answered. Don't gloss over it. Take some time today to ponder that. And we look ahead now to the readings for this Sunday, January 3rd, the Epiphany of the Lord. This is when Christ is seen. He's seen. He's revealed among us. The Magi set out because of deep desire, which prompted them to leave everything and begin a journey. It was as though they had always been waiting for that star. That's what Pope Benedict told us. Our response to the Father's offer of salvation is that of the Magi. To offer gold is to proclaim Christ's kingship. To offer incense is to adore his Godhead. To offer myrrh is to acknowledge his mortality. Place yourself this Sunday like one of the Magi. You've seen the star in the east, you follow it, you come, he is revealed. But note this, to offer gold is to proclaim Christ's kingship. Is he king over my heart? Is he king over my life, that of my family? What can I do to strengthen his kingship in my personal life and that of my family? To offer incense is to adore his Godhead. Do you really take time to adore God? Do you take advantage of opportunities to adore him in the Blessed Sacrament? But even in the quiet of your own home when you can't get there, are there times in the day when you simply kneel down and bow before him and say, "You are Lord. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my Father." That's, in a certain way, manifesting the presence of God. It is adoration. It's what the Magi brought in the form of incense to adore his Godhead, and to offer myrrh is to acknowledge his mortality. That it's a sign of mourning that he would die for us upon the cross. So we adore him. We worship him. We thank him. Today, this great feast of the Epiphany is the time to ask yourself, how often do I acknowledge his presence in my day? How often do I acknowledge that he is the sovereign Lord? How often, when I'm in difficult circumstances, do I turn to him first, or is he the last resort? Do I turn to him first and say, "Lord, help me, show me your way, show me the path to take"? How often do we turn to him and acknowledge his kingship and his authority? The Epiphany means the showing forth of Christ. Well, Christ wants to be shown forth in your life and in mine. The prophet Isaiah said it, chapter 60, verses 1 to 6, "Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem, your light has come." It was the prophet prophesying the Epiphany. "Your light has come, the glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the peoples, but upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes, look about, they all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba, shall come bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord." That was a prophetic sense in Isaiah's time of the coming of the Magi, coming to adore him, the first to worship him, the first to acknowledge him, the first to bring him gifts that indicated what his life would be like. They worshiped him as king. Do you realize that this is as real today as it was then? With God, there is no time. You have an opportunity to acknowledge him today, to bow down before him, to worship him, to acknowledge him as your king and Lord. Psalm 72 tells us, "Lord, every nation on earth will adore you." Every nation on earth will adore you. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 to 3 and 5 and 6. "Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely that the mystery was made known to me by revelation." He had a revelation that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. And he says, "It was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Jews and Gentiles would worship him together. We haven't seen the fulfillment of that yet. But in many ways, in many countries, it's happening. In many places, it's happening. To adore him, to honor him, to bow down before him, to acknowledge him as the Messiah who generation after generation have sought. And brothers and sisters, we live in that time of revelation, and we're still deaf, dumb, and blind. So read these passages this weekend. Really, read these passages. Pay attention to these passages and ask God to stir the flame in your heart that you can acknowledge him too. In thought and word and deed, that you today, this Sunday, that you too can bow down, literally bow down before him and worship him and acknowledge his lordship. You will be drawn so close to his heart when you do that and live out of that decision. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 to 12. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled. Why troubled? Because it was a threat to his authority and to his power. And all Jerusalem with him. So assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' And then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance." See, he was plotting to destroy any threat to his authority. Power is a big issue, brothers and sisters. When we bow down before the Lord, we give up our power and we acknowledge his. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me that I too may go and do him homage." He didn't want to do him homage. He wanted to kill him. After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did homage, and then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What are you offering to God? What do you offer to God? And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. Do you see? They were doing what God wanted them to do. And in this situation, he protected them. They were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, which gave a little time for Jesus to be saved. There were many children martyred that day, and they were martyred for the cause of Christ. And they will have a very, very high place in heaven. I can't wait to meet them. Brothers and sisters, look at your life. Are you an epiphany? Do those who see you find Jesus? Ask the Lord what you can do over the course of this weekend to choose him first and above all. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.